Okay, and before I begin, I'd like to disclose that the following personal financial relationships that are relevant to this presentation have existed during the last 12 months. I'm a co-investigator on a grant from Abbott Laboratories for a study that evaluates patients' understanding of existing FDA medication guides and developing and testing enhanced versions of these guides. So health literacy is an important issue within healthcare, with poor literacy being linked to a great number of outcomes, such as one's use of preventative services, delay in receiving diagnoses, understanding of one's medical condition, adherence to medical instructions, self-management skills, hospitalization risk, physical and mental health, and mortality risk. Okay, and to mitigate the effects of poor health literacy effectively, we need to consider how we define it. And this first definition you just saw in the last presentation. The second definition is from the World Health Organization, and it defines health literacy as the cognitive and social skills which determine the motivation and ability of individuals to gain access to, understand, and use information in ways which promote and maintain good health. Okay, the term that is most commonly used to describe this ability is health literacy. However, I think it's important to note that health literacy reflects much more than simply reading. Instead, it's also a reflection of what people need to know about their health and about how to take care of themselves. Similarly, it takes more than just having appropriate knowledge about health to be successful. Rather, it's also important to consider how patients actually apply the information that they receive. To accurately use this information, a patient needs to have the appropriate critical thinking skills that they can use in the context that they encounter. Health beliefs also impact how successfully patients are able to engage in the healthcare system. These include beliefs towards how we should be as a patient, what our roles are in the healthcare system as consumers of healthcare, expectations that we have about given decisions, treatments, self-care options, etc. Okay, and while ability and skill, as well as personal beliefs on the part of the patient, are important, a person's success at navigating the healthcare system is also dependent on how clearly this system is set up and how clearly the information is communicated from providers to patients. So I would say that regardless of ability, clarity is something that will be appreciated by patients across varying literacy levels. It's also important to note that improvements to health education interventions can only be effective if people actually want to take action. Finally, all of these factors together lead to patients engaging in health-related behaviors, such as adherence or non-adherence to medication regimens, preventive care and screening decisions, and so on. Okay, so the main point of all these different phrases is just to show that literacy is more than simply reading. And so interventions to mitigate the impact of low health literacy should therefore be about more than altering the readability of written documents. Similarly, it is more than simply passive knowledge transfer. Literacy is also about actually engaging people in recommended desired behaviors and making sure that they are health promoting. And I would argue that to do this well, it's important to consider interventions that are mindful of the average consumer of healthcare. Well thought out interventions can benefit all patients across literacy levels, and may especially help those with low literacy while also providing a benefit to patients with adequate literacy. And to do this, we should be mindful of creating systems that are user-friendly, and that's the cognitive factors approach that we're taking at the Health Literacy and Learning Program at Northwestern when trying to develop interventions. Okay, so the next few slides highlight a pretty striking example of just how important making something user-friendly for the average healthcare consumer can really be. So in this example, which is a true story, a young girl about 6 years old came down with H1N1 influenza, and her parents, they were a master's degree health educator and a general internist. And so the parents received a prescription of Tamiflu to give to their daughter, and you can see on this box that the instructions state that the medicine should be given to the child in the amount of 3/4 teaspoon. However, if you look over to the left of the box, you can see that the syringe that came with the medication does not have dosing markings in teaspoons. Rather, it's in milligrams. Okay, so this is an actual story again, and it was published in the New England Journal of Medicine about a year ago. And so it took the parents over an hour to figure this out. And finally, they found the information that they needed, and it was on the prescriber insert. So it was actually, they had to look through information that was really meant for the physician, not that was meant for the average patient. And so the most important point here in this case, the crisis was averted, and the parents did figure out what to do. But again, I want to highlight that these parents, they were a health educator and a general internist, so most people might not be able to figure this out. I use this example in today's talk because I think it really drives home the point that this is a big part of how we should approach health literacy. It's about trying to minimize unnecessary complexity within the healthcare system wherever possible. So in this case, dosing out medication. Okay. Whatever the approach, I think it's important to note that goals for promoting health literacy are to help patients and families in the following areas, which essentially map onto the list of health phrases that I showed you earlier. Namely, we want patients to be able to comprehend their health information and their health care. We want them to be able to take that knowledge and transfer it into recommended actions. We want them to be able to transfer those skills that they learn in a specific context into other situations that they may encounter in their day-to-day life. We hope that they will be health-seeking and take advantage of available opportunities to learn about health. And we want to instill in them, attitudes that are health-promoting. Okay, so how do we do that? In the Health Literacy and Learning Program at Northwestern, we've been trying to focus on what we call a cognitive factors approach. We look at cognitive factors as a blended science, taking from fields such as psychology, learning science, and human factors, that look at how people learn and retain information. And in our case, we're looking at this specifically within the context of healthcare. The goal is to minimize the cognitive load or the cognitive demands that are placed on patients when they're interacting with the healthcare system. And to do that, we need to recognize that among all learners of all levels of literacy, there are limitations to working memory, and people can only process so much information at any given moment in mental processing. So whenever possible, it can be beneficial to design materials or interactions in such a way that the content is presented in a clear format, using things like appropriate pacing, a minimization of a distractor material that may not be relevant to an intended message, repetition and practice, in addition to simplifying language and readability. Okay, so this slide basically just shows that to be able to encode health information, it takes a pretty broad set of basic skills. Patients need to process information, recognize that it's new and important, avoid distractors, manipulate information, retain it over time, and engage in reasoning and inference. It's important to minimize the cognitive demands on patients that are not necessary so that hopefully we can create an effective environment for creating new health knowledge, which should lead hopefully to recommended behaviors and positive health outcomes. Interventions to mitigate the impact of low literacy can fall into four main targets. The first is to improve patients' individual skills. The second is to make health education materials as effective and clear as possible. The third is to consider ways that we can make patient-provider encounters as clear and as useful as they can be. And finally, the fourth target is at a system-wide level to help patients navigate the healthcare system. And to most effectively combat the effects of poor health literacy, ideally we want strategies that are comprehensive. So none of these areas exist in a vacuum, and improvements across these targets will likely be more effective for promoting literacy than would attacking each target in isolation. Okay, so very quickly, I'd like to highlight just a couple of examples of ways that cognitive demands can be considered to help promote understanding, retention, and adherence. In this first example, on the bottom left corner of the slide, there's a warning label that's often placed on a prescription medication, and the icon to the left of the label is far from intuitive. So, and if anything, you could say it looks more like an olive than anything signifying pregnancy. Okay. So in this case, it might be better to use a visual aid that is more intuitive and less abstract. Over on the right of this slide is an example of a medication sheet used in a current study at Northwestern that tries to clearly impart information to patients using plain language that is concise and explicit and sets up when medication should be taken, linking in with their daily lives. Okay, so another example of a way to simplify a health-related task, in this case surrounding the scheduling of medication regimens, which is an area where patients often overcomplicate the task, is to provide the patient with standardized, universal instructions regarding the time of day to take medication. Okay, and this is an example of a reprogrammed label that uses this universal medication schedule. So it's placing the medication times into the four main bins. In addition to the design of health education materials, we can also consider cognitive demands when intervening to improve in-person encounters between patients and providers. So teach back and teach to goal strategies where the patient is asked to tell the provider what they have just learned. They can be helpful and they can take the pressure off the patient if they're brought up in a manner where the clinician indicates that it's kind of more on them, that it's a test, not of the patient, but that the clinician just wants to make sure that they're conveying information effectively and helpfully. However, these strategies do have some limitations in the sense that even when patients are able to verbally state correct information, that may not always be reflective of accurate understanding. So this slide shows some results from a 2006 study by Michael Wolf et al. Where the dark black bars indicate patients' accurate teach-back of instructions, but the gray bars show an accurate demonstration of those same instructions. The y-axis shows percentage correct, and along the x-axis you can see performance by patients with low, marginal, and adequate literacy, respectively. So you can see here that, especially for the patients with low literacy, there's a value to actually having patients demonstrate their actions when you're trying to discern if they may be having difficulties. Because even when they can teach it back to you and say it back, the demonstration doesn't always show that same story. Finally, placing information into the context of a patient's daily lifestyle can be helpful by giving them an opportunity to consider how they will complete these desired behaviors in their actual lives. In summary, a major goal for health literacy interventions should be to close the gap between system demands and patients' abilities. Okay, so what are some next steps? For future directions, interventions should include comprehensive evaluations to make sure that interventions are actually helping rather than hurting. We also want to include a consideration of new technologies to make sure that they're actually making patients' experiences easier as opposed to harder, and an effort to improve linkages across different areas of healthcare, from the provider to the prescriber and so on. Thank you.